Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Now Atlanta has him first and second for Dansby. And a high fly ball, wallop left center field and deep. Track, wall, it is gone! That's how you make him pay for a sloppy inning. Dansby Swanson just hit a three-run homer, and the Braves have put a five spot on the Giants in the second.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
In the air to right field, Mancini going back on the ball by Torres. Way back, up, and... I don't even know. Goodbye, home run. I mean, last two at-bats, he's hit home runs numbers 11 and 12 on the season. And now has 10 home runs against the Orioles this year. Just amazing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
In the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Fast Break Friday. A freezing Friday, if you want to call it that as well. We are locked in a beer cooler out here at the Jacksons off Bengy Road in Lake Oswego for our Cooling for a Cause yet again. Hanging out. Freezing our you-know-whats off and ready to do a radio show.
Hey, we're cooling for a cause, man. We love doing this show every year. I think, what is this, like year five or year six? We've been doing this for a long time now. Look, it's fun. We're benefiting the Salvation Army Veterans and Family Center again. If you got any household items, money you want to stop by, donate, I know they would greatly appreciate it leading into the Memorial Day weekend. Shout out to Officer Cooper,
yeah,
who already dropped in. Usually he comes at some point during the show, but he was here before we even got here today.
He's getting ready for a nice vacation this weekend.
He's going on a nice little three-day weekend to Bend. I can't blame him. A little jealous, but Officer Cooper stopped by. So we love seeing listeners. We're going to be here all afternoon. Our street teamers are out front. The folks from Salvation Army Veterans and Family Center are here, so stop by and do some good going into a three-day weekend.
Also got some specials on some liqueur.
Yeah, some good deals on Coors Light.
Coors Light, some Coors Banquet. Come on in, the Jacksons off Bangy Road.
The Banquet Beer.
I think Officer Cooper made a mistake, though. So what he did was he stopped in, and we love seeing him every year, and he handed these tokens that say dedicated to a safe community. Police, Tualatin Police, Oregon.
Yeah. We got, like prizes.
I think he kind of made us official police officers. So.
Can I arrest somebody with that? Is that like a citizen's arrest thing?
Dude, I think I can pull people over for reckless driving now. There's been too many of these people in Oregon. These Californians are everywhere. I think Officer Cooper opened a Pandora's box here where you and I now are officially cops.
He did a little bit. You might want those back, knowing the kind of people that we are. I don't know if we're, like, deserving of awards like that and nice little shiny medals from the great folks at the Tualatin Police Department, but shout out to him.
Can you imagine if he was, let's say he's already in Salem or close to Salem on his way to Bend, and he drives all the way back, stops in, takes these back.
No,
he's like, yeah, I made a big mistake in you two guys.
Hey, as I think as one famous person said, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
And I promise to handle my new title as a police officer with great responsibility.
Do you think you would be, if you were a cop, do you think you would be corruptible?
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, maybe not now. I don't think you can get away with it as much now. But if you're talking like I'm a 1980s police officer in Miami.
Your same personality
type.
Yes,
you bet your ass I'll be on the take. Are you kidding me?
That's too bad. This partnership is going to get ruined because you're going to be the partner.
I have no moral compass.
Who I'm best friends with. Our families are friends. And then I find out you've been shady and you've been dealing drugs for extra cash or you've been taking cash from crime scenes.
Easy. I would just maybe turn a cheek as things were going on.
Yeah, but you're getting a cut to turn the cheek.
You know, hey, we all got to take care of our families one way or another. Am I right?
It happens in every movie. Like the way that the partner finds out they're in the car, it's raining. The partner's been suspecting for about the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then finally the good partner's like,
something up here.
Don, you've been buying cars. Your daughter's college, it's all paid for. Don, I know what you've been doing. And then the partner's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Then he shows him like a photograph. And then suddenly the guy's like, I was about to quit. I promise. I was about to quit. No, you weren't, Don. No, you weren't.
I'm totally Don in that analogy.
I know. Yeah. I'm worried about that.
No, see, now, modern-day officer, you can't get away with it. But the rules used to be a little more lax like 20, 30, 40 years ago.
I don't think they were. I think they were the same rules.
You ever watch, like, I always think that watching shows like Narcos and stuff. Like, I just got done with the latest Mexico season and realizing
it's a good one.
How many people were on the take and allowing, like all the way to the highest levels of government. Just like, no big deal. As long as you're paying me a couple million dollars, go ahead, do whatever you want.
Yeah, you know what I appreciate that about you is your honesty in admitting, one, you probably should never try heroin because you're an addict, and two, that you would be a corruptible cop back in the day.
Hey, you got to know your limitations in life. That's why I'm a sports radio host.
That's true. That's very true.
You can't corrupt a sports radio host.
All right, well, we got a good show, again, out here at Jackson's off Banging Road in Lake Oswego for Salvation Army's Veteran and Family Center. They're set up. Any donations that you guys have, blankets, pillows, light bulbs, I mean, any housing items that you have extra that you may be able to stop on in and donate, they would greatly, greatly appreciate it. I saw the fine folks out there in December, and they're doing a great job. They've got a lot of families in there, and they're just trying to get a lot of those veterans out there. It is Memorial Day weekend, and they're just trying to get a lot of those veterans back on their feet and ready to go out there and live great lives.
Yeah, it's a reminder when you go into a three-day weekend why we have Monday off. And I think leading into the weekend, if you could do anything to help these folks and their families, that's really where it hits me. And we had the chance to go walk through the facility a while back and just realizing how many kids are there and how these people who serve their country fell on really tough times. And, you know, not to their fault of their own, they put their lives on the line to defend us. And then they came back and weren't taken care of, for the most part, the way that they should have been. And the places like that that do everything they can to help them get back on their feet are tremendous helps inside the community and to their families, to them. Every little thing helps, whether it's a cash donation. We all have extra stuff laying around the house. You know, blankets is a big one, especially come wintertime. But household, you know, appliances, plates, dishes, that kind of stuff. The kids love to play with toys because, as we mentioned, there's some kids there that live in the facility. So anything you can drop by today, it'll make a world of difference. And have a conversation with some of the great folks from there, and you get to learn about their experiences a little bit.
Jackson's off Bangy Road in Lake Oswego, right off the highway. Stop on in. It's the Shell gas station. You can't miss it. Stop on in and say hi today. All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Got a good show today. We're, you know, there's a lot to get to in the East Finals because I have found that series to be incredibly entertaining. Now, I am a biased basketball guy, but that was a good game last night.
Last night's game was awesome. All the extracurricular stuff that's happening, Drake feuding with the Bucks owner, Charles Barkley saying that somebody should throw a ball out of bounds so somebody could run him over in a seat. Like, I am here for all of it. Also, Drake, if you're a Raptors fan, you got to be a little nervous about the curse because he totally just jinxed them going to the NBA Finals.
Also, look, we'll get to Drake. Did you see what he was wearing?
Who, Drake?
Yeah, in the rant.
I didn't really know. No, I didn't notice that.
Very astute observers noticed that he was rocking Bucks colors.
That's right. He was wearing a green sweatshirt.
Green and black. He is the most front-running individual we've ever seen. But we're going to talk about Drake.
Surprised he wasn't in a Giannis jersey last night.
I got to be honest, too. He did something very creepy yesterday.
Okay.
For all the stuff about his rant and how he's a super Raptors fan. Like, that's, you know, that stuff is funny. Bit of a predator.
Oh, whoa.
Well.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Kind of weird. A little weird.
See, I'm not going to comment on that because I don't know her age.
Google search will quickly solve that for you.
Will it?
A lot of people were kind of upset by that stuff yesterday.
Okay.
Sometimes, oh, that's just outrage. All right, we got that to get to. Who had a worse night last night? Was it Giannis or Aaron Rodgers?
See, I got to stick up for somebody here.
No, don't. You need to do
it. I'm going to cape up.
Stop it.
You bet your ass I'm going to cape up for
him. You called him the GOAT yesterday for his audio. You're really going to try to sell me that yesterday was A-OK.
Look, there's nothing wrong with being unable to chug a beer, okay? Somebody's got a man up for Aaron Rodgers, all right?
Stop it.
Who knows? Stop. What kind of beer was it, okay? We don't know.
Was it a lighter beer? It looked like a light beer.
Was it a thicker beer?
No.
Could have been like a Guinness or something.
No, it was. Did you see it?
Poor guys trying to chug an IPA courtside, all these other guys. You know, come on.
The offensive lineman, what is it? How do you say his name?
Bakhtiari, I think.
Bakhtiari?
Yeah.
Dude, he chugged three. In a span of like a minute.
He did. The worst one, though, was Christian Yelich. Because the lineman makes sense. Like, an offensive lineman should be able to chug beer. They're just bigger, mass humanity. But when you got Christian Yelich, who's like, what, 6'3", you know, 200.
Probably a pretty big dude,
He's tinier than Aaron Rodgers, I would imagine. Although I'll look up the sizes. That is what made Aaron Rodgers not look good.
Yeah, Yelich got up and did it, no problem.
He did.
What's going on with you? So we'll get to that. We got a guest on the ticker from Toronto. Josh Lewinberg for TSN 1050 Sports Radio over there. He'll join us for the Daily Ticker. I want to bring back some Jonathan Smith stuff from yesterday's interview. If you missed it, we'll bring a couple clips back on that. Also at 1080thefan.com. Klay Thompson, none too happy about the All-NBA team stuff as he missed out on potentially. I don't think he missed out on any. Did he miss out on $30 million? Was he one of the people?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he missed out on $30 million extra yesterday.
And he was not happy about it.
He wasn't. So we'll get to that. Of course, we got to Sprague the Line today. We got some NFL stuff, some college football, Dabo and PJ Fleck. We didn't get to that. So we got a loaded show, a lot to get to. We're on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague, and at 1080 The Fan. Again, we're out here at Jackson's off Fangy Road in Lake Oswego for our Coon for a Cause for the Salvation Army's Veteran and Family Center over there in Beaverton, hanging out for the whole show. Come on in and say hi. Let's start. Who was the bigger loser, Aaron Rodgers or Giannis Antetokounmpo yesterday in Milwaukee? The Bucks down 3-2. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, happy Friday on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We're live out of Jackson's off Bangy Road here in Lake Oswego for Coon for a Cause, teaming up with Salvation Army's Veteran and Family Center. He's hearing some great stories, and we'll share some of those a little bit later on here on the show of the people in the facility. We were told, though, that they're actually good on, like, bed sheets and bread. And one thing they're really looking to try to raise, if there's anybody out there, meat and vegetables.
Yeah, go stop by the grocery store and swing them down. They'd love to have some meat and vegetables.
Some ground beef, some steaks.
You're feeding a lot of people in there and a lot of kids, as we mentioned, and we'll have one of the guys who has gone through the program and now works just as a volunteer back at the place and kind of a counselor for the other guys.
He's been out here a couple years now.
Yeah, we've had him on the air before, and he's going to hop on with us and share some stories that I think will be pretty eye-opening going into Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, so cash donations, if you guys have a couple bucks, or meat and vegetables are things that they are really looking to try to get today. If you do have anything else, maybe you heard us in the opening segment and you do have a pillow or you have blankets or something, feel free to still stop in and donate that as well. That means a lot to them, but I just wanted to pass that along, that specifically is what they are looking to get today, is meat, vegetables, and maybe some cash donations.
Boom.
Okay, so who lost more last night? Let's talk about this.
This is obvious.
Okay, so for the radio listeners, because look, maybe you didn't watch the whole game. Maybe you didn't see the clip on the internet. There was a moment during the Bucks game where they've been doing this now in the playoffs. They've showed David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, the Packers left tackle.
The left tackle for the Packers. And when they show him on the Jumbotron, he gets amped up and he chugs a beer and then he chugs another beer and he just gets the crowd fired up. We're talking pretty big beers here, 16-ounce beers.
This is the most Milwaukee thing of all time,
too. Very, yes. And Aaron Rodgers at the first game that he did it, and they pointed to Rodgers, and Rodgers pointed back to him, so he chugged the second beer. Well, they did it again yesterday, and Bakhtiari chugged a beer, chugged another beer, and then he pointed to Rodgers, and then Rodgers, with the crowd going nuts, feels the pressure, dives down between his legs, grabs his beer up, he starts chugging, but he can't chug very fast.
No.
It's barely moving, and you're kind of like, oh, Aaron Rodgers can't chug beer.
Can't chug a beer.
He then gives up, doesn't finish the beer. He lets it down. He basically said, no, no, no more. No mas.
Yeah.
Points back to Bakhtiari. And then Bakhtiari has a third beer and just chugs it.
Yeah, he had a third one there ready to go.
Now, you mentioned this last segment. Kristen Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers also chugged his beer.
They had an off day yesterday, so there were some Brewers in the building.
So I think we've established something. Aaron Rodgers is no longer the GOAT.
Oh, come on.
Do you know who the best beer chugger probably in the NFL is as quarterback?
Probably Tom Brady.
Probably Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady can put him back.
There was another video that surfaced. Matt Stafford, I guess, did this one night at a restaurant with some friends. He had one of those, you know, those super tall glass beers, and he chugged it, I guess, in like 2 seconds. I saw that video, too.
I took a bit of issue with that, okay, because there were tweets going around saying Matthew Stafford put Aaron Rodgers in a body bag. How about we win a playoff game, Matt Stafford?
Wow.
Okay?
How about we
win a playoff game? Let's win a game of significance, and then we'll put Aaron Rodgers in a body bag. What's his career record against the Packers?
Probably not good.
Probably 15 games below 500 against Green Bay. They didn't win a game at Lambeau for like a century. Are you kidding me? It's been 10,000 days since the Lions won a playoff game. Get out of here. Stafford ain't putting nobody in a body bag.
You know, it made me wonder if Stafford went to Green Bay like Rodgers did and Rodgers went to Detroit.
How's that working out?
I think the Packers win more Super Bowls.
Now, I'm going to go out on the trust tree right here, and I got to stick up for Aaron Rodgers for one reason.
Come on. This is not like you to stick up on this.
I'm not a good beer chugger. I never have been. It's always been a weakness of mine. When it comes to drinking, I'm a marathon guy. I'm not a sprinter. I can drink with the best of them. But when it comes to, like, chugging a beer, a big, thick beer, that's never been a forte of mine. So I gotta stand up for Aaron Rodgers here.
Yeah.
He's not a great beer chugger, but there's no doubt that Giannis
Dude,
had the
– great. He's terrible.
He gave it a chance. He gave it an opportunity. Gave it a run.
I'm really upset by you.
And he came up just short, okay?
Dirt, if I put a beer in a cup and you were put on a Jumbotron, you may not kill it like Bakhtiari. You would get the beer done.
No, I would. Yeah, I mean, okay. I would. It would take me a while, but I would get it done.
He didn't even get half done. He quit. He went halfway, and then he quit. It's like, come on, man, what are we doing here? This amateur hour?
As a listener pointed out, he was just trying to give a little shine to his left tackle. Come on. He's just, you know, trying to shine a spotlight on a guy who doesn't get the credit he deserves.
So he's like, hey, let me look good. Let me make you look good.
You're going to be the crowd favorite. Everybody's going to love you in this building. Boom. That's a team guy right there. He cares about his left tackle.
That's ridiculous, okay?
Matt Stafford's on the at a bar showing people
Come
up.
On.
Give me a break.
Come on. I can't believe
no,
you're
I am.
Up.
Somebody said I'm sensitive about this. Yeah, I'm not a good beer chugger, so I am sensitive about this. If it comes to like a chugging, I would finish last. I can't chug beers.
I'm probably not that great.
Like if I handed you right now a full 16-ounce beer, how long would it take you to chug?
We might have to test this theory.
We might have to try this out at some point.
I don't know.
It would take you a while.
I don't know if I can give you an exact time frame. I would get it done. I don't think I'm the greatest beer chugger. I don't think I'm the worst. I'm like right there in the middle. Probably like the lower middle class version of a beer chugger.
Yeah. See, I'm bottom of the barrel, man. I'm bottom of the barrel.
Well, that's too bad for you.
Yeah.
And I thought Aaron Rodgers really blew it last night.
This is the Tom Brady chugging of beers, though, is pretty remarkable.
Legendary.
Like, it is. That's one of those things, like, you hear the stories and you're like, no way, not buying it. Tom Brady, really? He's kind of fruity and he's in, you know, like, he's wearing Uggs. Like, I'm not buying it, Tom.
You just call Tom Brady fruity?
I mean, he is a little bit. You know, he's wearing colognes, married to a supermodel, he wears Uggs.
Would you be married to a supermodel if you could be? Would you wear cologne to smell good?
I'm a normal guy, okay? But him chugging beers, that's kind of outside of the norm. You wouldn't really predict it.
Okay, well, that might be well and good, but there is video Brady being on the late night circuit chugging beer. You can go find that out there. Not a good night for Giannis.
Not a good night at all.
A worse night for Chris Middleton, and the Bucks now have lost 3 straight games. I thought the Raptors could still push the series to like 6. I didn't think that they would win four of the next five. They're going to win four straight games. I think this series is done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good. I'm shocked that we got here the way that Milwaukee won the first two games. But then you also think back.
That game one, they weren't
Toronto
playing
blew it.
Well.
Toronto blew game one. And it was, I think Kyle Lowry was the only one to make a shot in the fourth quarter for Toronto. But for a team that's coming off of a game seven win over Philly, in which nobody on the roster wanted to attempt a shot outside of Kawhi Leonard, never would I thought if they'd gotten here. I didn't feel confident in the pick, even though I took them initially to win the East. But Kawhi Leonard is to me, one of the best postseason players we've seen in a long time. His numbers go up across the board when you get to this point. And I think it kind of creates a fun conversation about being able to consistently knock down jumpers. You know, Giannis, to me, watching that game in the last three, kind of reminds me of LeBron circa like 10, 12 years ago, where he's a physical freak. He can dominate you in the regular season. But when it comes down to time to consistently knock down shots, teams pack the paint. They're more physical with them. They're leaving guys open, and his teammates aren't helping him out. That's kind of the sense I've gotten from Milwaukee the last couple of games, and Kawhi Leonard's outplaying him in every facet right now.
Yeah, they made a lineup change yesterday. They started Brogdon over Bledsoe. Barkley commented, said he hated that. And then Chris Middleton, I don't know what his final stat line ended up being, but he was god-awful in that game. Giannis didn't do much offensively. You mentioned it. And, look, I'm not a big fan of Chris Webber on the call. I think he points out the obvious, but he says it with a voice that's like, nobody's thinking about this.
Yeah.
There was a moment he had pretty spot on at the end where Giannis drives in with about two and some change, and you look in, and four Raptors defenders just – they just get sucked down, and they basically say, yeah, anybody else, go ahead and do it.
He went 1-on-4, and he tried to go up, and it got stripped. It was stolen from him.
Siakam was good at the end of that game, too. So, you know, I want to point out for the listeners, because we did a poll question a while back of the best player in the NBA, and we did the – who was it? It was Kawhi, KD,
Giannis,
and James Harden.
Yeah.
James Harden finished last. Kawhi Leonard was damn near dead last.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody picked Giannis. Everybody picked KD. So I think Kawhi goes into that underrated category somehow still. Like, the dude won a Finals MVP. We know he's probably the best two-way player, and yet people still don't even view him as that guy, the best player in the entire league. And right now, even with KD being healthy, I don't think anybody's having a playoff run like that guy is.
No, and doing it on both ends of the floor and when it matters most. I mean, he had a good game going into the fourth, and then he just took off in the fourth quarter, knocked down five threes, 35 points, seven rebounds, nine assists. And for a guy that, you know, in game three and game four, looked like he was playing on one leg. Like, he looked banged up. And
I still don't think he looked that
healthy.
He
didn't look 100%, but I thought he looked a little bit better last night, so maybe the day off in between helped slightly. And really the case for Toronto is you trust Kawhi Leonard, and it just comes down to one other guy. You know, in game four it was Kyle Lowry, had a big game, and last night Van Vliet hasn't made a shot, it felt like, the whole playoffs. He's been so bad. He knocked down seven threes last night.
He's hot.
He was 7 of 9 from three, 21 points. He was a plus 28. Coming off the bench. That was a huge difference in the game, and Kawhi Leonard just needed a little bit of help, and he got it from one of the bench guys.
Of the nine assists, this will help you. So Kawhi Leonard gave you 35 points. Of the nine assists he had, every single one of them was a three-pointer.
Yeah.
So he gave you, he assisted 27 points and chipped in 35 himself. He gave you 62 of your 105 points.
And for Giannis, it's going to come down to it's going to come down to help, because this time of year, they're going to pack the paint. They're going to be physical with them. They'll send them to the free throw line if they have to. And his job's not going to be easy. And if you don't get guys around you knocking down shots, really it's a similar situation that we've seen in Portland. Like, if guys aren't making shots, Dame and CJ are easy to stop in the playoffs. But you get Myers Leonard going off for 25.5, and you got a lead against the Warriors. That's the way it's going to have to work for Milwaukee on the road, because they're going to do everything they can to take Giannis away. By the way, you know what they changed in Game 3 of the series? They put Kawhi Leonard on Giannis.
Well, and Giannis is shooting something like sub-30% when Kawhi's
guarding him.
Shows
the two-way player that he is. So you're going to have to lean on guys.
By the way, not to cut you off there, Giannis needs to take that task on defensively.
He does. You got to do it the same way on the other end. Say, you take me away, I'll take you away on defense.
Because Middleton can't stop him. And I don't know if Giannis can stop Kawhi either. He's such a good offensive player, but you need to at least use the length and see what can happen if you put him on him. This series kind of feels done. We'll see if Milwaukee's got any fight. I watched that, though. My big takeaway, too, I hope to God to be wrong on this. It doesn't feel like either of these teams are going to put up much of a series against Golden State.
No.
Unfortunately.
No. Watching Kawhi Leonard have a chance or Giannis have a chance will be fun. But no, I'll dubs in five.
Kind of feels that way.
Yeah. I'm not picking either of them to win.
All right, we'll have more on Superfan Drake as he gave his comments last night, and he just continues to annoy people. But coming up next, the Daily Ticker. We'll make a stop in Toronto. The Canadians getting ready for potentially a Game 6 party as the Raptors look to close out the Bucks. We will talk with Josh Lewenberg of TSN 1050 over there in Toronto. He joins us next. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in Daily Ticker time here on The Fan. We're still trying to get our guests, so give us just a minute here on that.
They're partying too much in Toronto today, man.
They're living the good life, man.
They're living the good life. It is, you know, somebody texted in Kawhi Leonard is like the Madison Bumgarner.
That's a great comparison.
Of the NBA, yeah. It really is. Although, I mean, I'll even give it, Kawhi's a better regular season player than Bumgarner. I mean, he's a perennial all-star MVP candidate. And Bumgarner's had some great years, but he's not necessarily on that level year in and year out during the regular season. There's just something about guys that when they get to that point, they take it to the next level. And Kawhi Leonard has been remarkable in that regard. And the storyline of how it's going to play for them, like they are just rolling out the red carpet to try and get him to come back. They traded away a guy that was a franchise cornerstone, as you would say, in DeMar DeRozan to get him, the threat of him leaving. There's so many interesting storylines out of Toronto getting there. But, you know, they were an organization that I really respected for rolling the dice. You know, it might end up backfiring. Maybe they lose to Milwaukee or they go to the finals and they get swept by Golden State and he walks in free agency and you got nothing to show for him. It really is a risky move, but I appreciate them at least trying it because I think we can all agree if you have DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry again in Toronto, do they beat Philly in the second round? Probably not the way Kawhi Leonard played in that series. And even if they find a way to do it, I'm not taking them to beat Milwaukee without Kawhi Leonard. He has been the difference for them in the last two rounds. So at least as of now, we'll see how free agency goes, but at least as of now, that trade has worked out for him.
You know, there's two things here, and hopefully we get our guest on just a minute here for the ticker. There's two things here. Did you feel kind of good, though? I'm rooting for the Bucks. I love Giannis, but did you feel good for the Raptors just because that organization has come up short?
Yeah, they have.
A lot of those players, not a lot, but a few of those guys, those key guys, have come up small in big moments, and they've really kind of come together. And you give Kawhi a lot of that credit, but like Kyle Lowry, he's injured right now. He's playing confident. He's not allowing moments to get to him.
Yeah.
You mentioned Fred VanVleet, who struggled, and then now he's found his shot. And so the Raptors, I kind of felt good for him yesterday.
Yeah,
I didn't
did.
Pick him, but I felt good for him.
The Drake thing's different, but you feel good for the city.
Do we have him on right now, Swag? Are we good? Yes? No? Okay,
right.
Here we go. Eric Smith is joining us now, Fan 590 in Toronto, sportscaster extraordinaire. He's on Twitter, at Eric_Smith. Give him a follow. He joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Eric, thanks for taking a couple minutes with us, man. We appreciate it. Just what does it feel like to be on the doorstep of an NBA Finals after so many heartbreaking losses in the playoffs with the Raptors?
Yeah, it definitely feels good. I mean, as you guys, I'm sure can appreciate and would probably agree with and acknowledge, it's, you know, job's not done yet. Obviously, we've kind of been down this path before at 2-2 at least a couple years ago against the Cavaliers before getting blown out in games 5 and 6. So it was nice for the Raptors to get that win last night, but I'll tell you, I don't know how many hockey fans you have up that way, and I'm strangely a weird Canadian, not a huge hockey guy myself, but there are a lot of bitter Toronto fans, even in this postseason, that saw the Maple Leafs leading the Bruins 3-2, to lose game 6 and 7 and then get eliminated in the first round. So there still are a few sort of skeptical Raptor fans, or at least fans that are taking the wait-and-see approach, saying, hold on, we don't want to get too excited, too jacked up quite yet. Because, we saw what happened in the Maple Leafs. But this certainly feels good, and obviously with the Raptors being the closest they've ever been, the city is waiting to explode, and it's going to be a massive party in Toronto tomorrow night if they actually do close this thing out.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs, a great example of that I've forgotten, and that would just happen, a number of weeks ago. And, mm-hmm. There's such a storyline in the offseason about trading DeMar DeRozan, a guy who was a franchise player for Kawhi Leonard and just kind of rolling the dice and saying, you know what, we want to try and get over the hump and bring in a superstar at that level. And, you know, so far I think you could say it worked in the playoffs. Is that trade vindicated at this point? Does it matter what happened in free agency? Like, how are people feeling about that move right now?
You know, I was actually on a station just over the border in Vancouver earlier today, and they apparently had a poll up on their station where they were saying, and I'm trying to remember here, but essentially paraphrasing, you know, would you consider this season a success if, or you know, what would you want? Option A was championship, but Kawhi Leonard leaves. Option B is no championship, but Kawhi Leonard resigns for, you know, the long-term extension. And I said I would still take the championship because, you know, those don't come along. You know, it could be another 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years before, you know, you have that shot at winning a title, let alone actually potentially winning a title. I would take the chance. I would take the opportunity to be in a finals, to go for that first ring more than anything else. So to me, this trade has been vindicated. It was a success, even if Kawhi Leonard decides to leave. That said, though, I think the further you go into the playoffs, the deeper you go, the more time he has around this team, around these teammates, around the medical staff, the front office, yeah, building the trust with everybody, that can only help your case and further solidify your chances of bringing him back, let alone, of course, the ultimate dollars and cents that come down to it and the money that he can leave on the table if he did leave.
Yeah, Eric Smith is our guest here on the Daily Ticker, the Fan 590 in Toronto, joining us now. He's at Twitter, at Eric_Smith. You mentioned kind of the attitude. I think you're spot on. I think everybody here in this city, if Portland was ever in that position, would be the same. It's like, yeah, we're close, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's another game to win, and then we can party if they can get to the finals. It doesn't appear, though, that one of your biggest fans, Drake, feels that way. He has proclaimed this team in the finals already. He went on a big, long rant yesterday. I know he was partying out there in Jurassic Park. Look, I know he's one of your own, and he's done a lot of good, I think, in representing the Raptors, but how do Toronto fans kind of feel about Drake and the way this has been going down the last few days, especially with what happened last night?
I think there are more pro than con in when it comes to Drake. And listen, I'll be honest. I do the radio broadcast for the team, and then, you know, we've got a bit of a crazy split in our broadcast schedule here. So half the games I do the radio play-by-play, the other half I'm doing TV sidelines. So I've had a chance to interview Drake a couple of times. I met him. You know, if we ran into each other on the street, I'm not sure that you know who I am, so I'm not going to claim to be bosom buddies with the guys here. But at the same time, I feel like I have a little bit of a sense of who he is and what he's like as a person, as a fan, let alone as an artist and everything else. I kind of tend to think, you know, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 44 and think back to, you know, the heyday of the battles between the Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. And to me, I don't see a major difference between Drake and Spike Lee. The only difference is, I guess, Spike Lee didn't, you know, rub the shoulders, give a little massage to the head coach of the Knicks for 2 seconds, 3 seconds? Yeah. But in terms of standing up, walking back and forth a little bit, screaming at Reggie Miller, making the choke sign, interacting with players on the floor, you know, making a scene of himself on the sideline, he still does that to some extent to this day. So I don't see a major difference with that. But the interesting thing with Drake as well is, right, wrong, or otherwise, the Raptors have partnered with this guy. I mean, he's essentially on the payroll. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but he's on the payroll as the Raptors global ambassador. He was hired in that capacity, in that role, given that sort of tag, I believe 4 or 5 years ago. You think of the Raptors, even one of their, you know, like every team that has, you know, 5, 6, 9, 10, 12 jerseys, one of their jerseys is inspired by Drake and the OVO brand, his clothing apparel company and his brand. That's got the owl and it's black and gold. And the Raptors, of course, now have the black and gold jersey. And then now another secondary jersey, alternate jersey, that's the white trimmed in gold. That's all inspired by Drake, designed by Drake, and inspired by the OVO brand. So you've really put yourself, you know, side by side with this guy. You're in bed with him, you know, literally and figuratively, when you think about uniforms, you think about the front office and his role. So he's going to be there, and he's going to be a part of it. And he probably is more than just a quote-unquote fan. So he's kind of given a little bit longer leash. Now, I will tell you this. I wasn't a part of this conversation yesterday because I was at the game in Milwaukee and calling it on the radio. But when he was taking part in the party in Jurassic Park that you mentioned, he apparently talked to local reporters, and he said since the incident, I suppose, or the great uproar over his antics on the sidelines, he had a conversation and apparently a phone call with Adam Silver. Now, what was actually said on that call and what Silver actually, you know, said to him and how much he wants him to stop or continue or whatever, I don't know. But Drake did acknowledge that the league has talked to him and he's had conversations with the highest of the highest. So it's clearly gotten up to all levels. And I would anticipate tomorrow night he's going to be right back there, and he'll be hooting and hollering, especially if the Raptors are winning. So I don't see this thing changing.
Yeah, he's going to be front and center. That's interesting. I didn't see that note about the Adam Silver conversation. You know, and looking at this series, it's wild because two games in, we always do this in NBA playoff series where you lose one or you win one. It's like, oh, how's the other team going to come back? And Milwaukee's up 2-0, and you even look back, Toronto, I mean, probably should have won game one. They let it slip late, and, you know, Kyle Lowry was the only one that had a good fourth quarter for him. What's been the biggest change, though? I mean, you go down 0-2, you come home, and now Toronto's won three straight games. What's been the biggest change over the last three games?
I would say it's the second unit and the play of the bench really stepping up and taking a little, or depending how you look at it, a lot of pressure off Kawhi Leonard and even Kyle Lowry for that matter as well. The first couple of games of the series, for the most part, almost the entire series against the 76ers, Fred VanVleet was struggling mightily. Norm Powell couldn't get things going. Serge Ibaka was really the only one from the bench that was providing any kind of lift, and even then it was inconsistent and spotty at best against the Sixers and the first couple of games against Milwaukee as well. But last couple of games, Norm Powell stepping up huge. Certainly Fred VanVleet, 7 of 9 last night from distance and coming off a solid effort in game four as well. That, to me, is the biggest difference, because I think Toronto's defense has been pretty darn good in all five games to this point. I think for the most part they've held Antetokounmpo in check, albeit his numbers look great. I'm not sure that his impact has been huge. And yeah. Chris Middleton, the other all-star, has only really had one good game, and that was the game four blowout that the Raptors won. They really held him in check the first three games. So I think defensively what the Raptors are doing, and then just finally this bench that was good and deep through the regular season, that was kind of now, you know, inconsistent and non-existent at times in the playoffs, it's starting to kind of look like its former self, and that's been a huge, huge turnaround.
Yeah. Eric, you do radio, you know the clock. We're way against it, so as quickly as you possibly can, do you think that they can push, if they're able to close this out and they go to the finals, do you think they can actually make it a good series against Golden State? We tend not to think so, but we're coming off of them sweeping Portland without Kevin Durant, so apologies on our end on that. But do you think they can actually make it a good series?
Hey, 2-0 in the regular season for the Raptors against the Warriors, but that's the regular season, so throw that out the window. Listen, if I was a betting man, I would say I'm probably putting my money on Golden State, but do I think the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, do they have a chance to actually make a series of this? Yeah, I think they do, because I think the way that they match up against Golden State, even with the firepower that the Warriors have, I think man for man, body for body, the Raptors are better at playing that sort of smaller, small ball style and like to get up and down the floor as well. So I think they could match the Warriors man for man. But, man, seven-game series? I don't know. First time ever in the finals? I hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to be calling games in the finals, let alone calling a winning championship. But, hey, man, just getting there for the first time ever, to me, that's a win in itself for the Raptors. They're playing with house money.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for coming on, Matt. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work, radio, play-by-play, and the TV sidelines. I did want to tell you, the picture, when you Google yourself, I don't know if you've seen this. I think you're using this as your avatar. Your picture, you kind of look like Cliff Kingsbury, and that's a good-looking guy, so kudos to you.
Give Holly Saunders a call, eh?
Yeah. I'll get on that.
All right, there we go. Eric Smith, thanks so much, Eric. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right, Eric Smith, Raptors radio play-by-play, and during the regular season does some TV sidelines as well on Twitter, @Eric_Smith. He thinks they can make it a series. Look, if you stack the talent, let's assume KD.
I mean, nobody stacks up a Golden State talent-wise.
No, I know. Well, okay, let's get into this a little bit, because I do think they're going to be able to win this at home. We'll talk about that. We'll play some Drake audio, and then we'll get to the Neil Olshey news at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Again, we're live out here at the Jacksons off Bangy Road in Lake Oswego for our Coon for a Cause, teaming up with Salvation Army's Veteran and Family Center in Beaverton. They're looking for donations, cash, vegetables, or meat. I know, groceries, we're putting on the list, but they need them, and they would appreciate your guys' help. So stop on in if you can. We're back with more on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We have a lot more to get to. The second hour is already upon us here in 10 minutes. Going
Thanks
quick.
Flying by today. Flying by.
If you missed our interview with Eric Smith, he is the Raptors radio guy. He's great. Good stuff from him. You can check it out, Les Schwab Tires Podcast. I think we're in agreement. Like, it feels like to me it's going to be a five-game series, no matter if it's Milwaukee or Toronto.
You lose game five at home like that, it's hard to have a lot of confidence in them winning back-to-back games.
But what I do think Toronto is going to give you is, one, do not forget that when Kawhi Leonard was healthy against these Warriors,
uh-huh.
They were up 20 in game one before he rolled an ankle landing on Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah, and then Golden State came back and won and steamrolled him.
So we know he's a big difference maker. And I know the NBA final stage is going to be one that most of these guys on Toronto are not familiar with whatsoever. But if you just went roster-wise, just looking at talent and what we know about it, they do stack up pretty well. It's just going to be the experience and the stage. If Golden State, who's used to that, plays their usual game and Toronto goes, oh my God, the bright lights are even brighter, then it's not going to be a good series. But if they don't care, they play with this same mentality, this toughness, and KD's not potentially coming back. That's already been ruled that he's out for game one.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about game two. And hell, at this point, the way they're making this injury sound, I'm not sure he is coming back. So the depth might actually start hurting Golden State a little bit here. I think we're in lockstep. But there is a chance if Kawhi can play this Kawhi Leonard basketball, if the Raptors, man, follow him, maybe there is a chance this could be a good series.
Hey, I would love nothing more than watching Golden State lose in the NBA Finals. I think just not knowing what their offseason is going to bring, to have some intrigue and have a fun series. We have had back-to-back years now where I believe, it was a sweep last year, and then I think the year before was a five-game series. So we haven't had a good NBA Finals now for 3 years, and that one was great when you had the classic 3-1 comeback from LeBron over Golden State. That's all I want is intrigue. I just don't have a lot of confidence. Kawhi Leonard is as good as it gets as a two-way player in this league. But, I mean, you can put Klay Thompson on him. None of them will stop him, but you have Klay Thompson that can guard him. You got Andre Iguodala as long as he's healthy. But he's got 9 days off from the conference finals and the NBA finals. Draymond Green is a bigger body you can throw at him in certain situations. So they have a lot of flexibility there, and there's just no answer for Curry and Thompson. Now, maybe I'm just, and as you mentioned, maybe I'm just coming off of a series in which they just dominated Portland in the second half, especially after the Blazers built big leads, but I don't see enough around Kawhi Leonard to be able to handle what Golden State's going to throw at him.
Now, before we get into too much finals talk, because this series is not over, Toronto's up 3-2, and now it's going back to Toronto for game six, potentially trying to win four straight games. Eric Smith said, look, we're excited, we're happy, you want the closeout game in your building, but nothing's a given. It's not a done deal.
Well, and they're Toronto. They know that. They've never been to the NBA Finals.
Exactly. This is a pivotal moment for them as a franchise. One fan, though, however, did not feel that way. He feels like this series is a done deal, and he told the media yesterday in Toronto when he was partying with fans, and that is the super fan and artist Drake. Here it is.
Look around you. Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. Look around at the square. I promise you right now, we did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They can say it's disrespectful. They can say it's this and that. And that. Everybody's within the rules. Everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team. I promise you. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the
chance to win at home. The chance to win at home.
Why? Why?
It's a done deal.
This is the catch 22 though for me, because I'm okay with Toronto winning. Like their story and never being there and getting knocked off by LeBron every year and gambling it all to get Kawhi Leonard and maybe it backfires. Like it's a cool story to me. But man, the catch 22 is I'm not gonna be able to stand Drake. I am not gonna be able to stand it. Like Saturday night he is gonna be so bleeping annoying. Are you kidding
How
me?
How many times do they show him? What would the Vegas?
It's gonna be the whole game, man. Yeah. It's gonna be the Curry parents on steroids, because that stuff was driving me nuts. Like, stop interviewing them. We get it. The kids are playing. The brothers, like, we understand. They got the dual jersey. Enough. Show the game. Drake's gonna be that times a million on Saturday.
One, it's gonna be funny if this bites him. That Milwaukee wins, and then they go home for Game 7, and they figure something out, or players step up, and they win.
It would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious for that reason. And then also, like, we're like a college team. I think I know what he means by that, but is that, like, something you would really want to say?
Like, we created this? Like,
he's trying to
Toronto's take, a good – Toronto's always been a good sports
I
city.
I know, like, but I think he's the Jurassic Park stuff, the Drake loves himself some Drake.
Look, I mean, every fan base does this. Like, the Blazers bring
up Drake.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we even act like that guy. What's his name? He's in Billions. Like, he's our celebrity fan, and we have him do intro videos for playoff games and stuff. Listeners, help me. What's his name?
Billions?
He's the bald guy.
I don't know that people.
He's like our resident celebrity, and he's a Blazer fan, and they constantly talk about him. They constantly show him. Like, anytime you get
does
a celebrity.
Does he do anything else with Billions?
I think he does, but I don't know. I don't watch that show.
That's our celebrity
yeah,
fan?
Yeah, that's our guy. We roll him out, and every time I see him, it's
I
like.
I thought ours was Ian Carmel.
It's like, it's cool that he's a Blazer fan, but come on. Like, I get it, you know?
Yeah, like, no offense to anybody. Like, who is the biggest one? Like, who's the most famous? Not like who's the biggest fan. Who's the most famous Blazer fan?
I mean, it has to be that. I mean, isn't one of the Baldwin brothers a Blazer fan?
Okay.
Randomly?
I'd rather.
One of the bastard Baldwin brothers.
Ian Carmel wins.
You're giving it to him?
Well, if that's where you're going, then yeah, that's who I'm giving it to.
What is that guy? Listeners, help me out. What's that guy's name?
Yeah, Paul Giamatti?
No, it's not Paul Giamatti. Maybe it's not Billions.
That's
maybe I'm thinking the wrong
Billions
show.
That I know.
But they had him do intro videos because the first round was aired on local TV, and they had him do, like, the hype video for the games.
Tan Kendall is probably ours. That's a good one.
Kelly Acoon. That's his name. Acoon. Kelly Acoin.
You don't even know his name.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but that's the guy.
Wow.
Yeah, and it is Billions.
Acoin.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our – and they roll him out for every game. So I can't make fun of Toronto too much because we do that for a guy who's in Billions.
Can I hard pass that option? I've never even heard of this guy. He's our biggest celebrity. Give me Ian Carmel.
He's our dude.
God. Okay, we got a loaded second hour, a lot more to get to. We'll start. Neil O'Shea giving an extension. I'm really curious. I made a poll question with the show page on this one. Did this Western Conference Finals run change your feelings about Neil O'Shea as the GM? He'll be here till 2024. We'll talk about that next hour or two straight ahead on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.